Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3. Number 1.
The batter here, 1-for-2, and he hits this ball down the line and left, and he's going to add to the Red Sox lead with an RBI double. Jordan will dig it out of the corner. Sadon thought about three, but Jordan gets it back in. So it's now a 3-1 lead as Rafaela knocks in his second run of the game on a double.
All right, that's where we sit there as they just finished that inning. 3-1 lead for the Boston Red Sox as Justin Verlander started today. I think that's the main story. And, you know, with the 5-game lead in the division over the Mariners, who are a game away from being no longer being above 500, by the way. That's where the Mariners are. I know we said the Astros are 61-38 with yesterday's loss in that, and I would love to see what the Mariners' record is in that time frame. They've got to be 10-15 games under 500 the way they have. They lose today, they'll be at 500. But anyway, with a 5-game lead over the Mariners in these games right here, is it feels like they're heading to the playoffs. I think the most important win or lose in this game is Justin Verlander and what he was able to do. And he started off really, really, I don't even want to say slow, but in a situation where you didn't think he'd be able to last very long because you knew there had to be some sort of a pitch count. After the first two innings, he had given up two runs, and he was at 41 pitches. Well, his final line, 5 innings pitch, 4 hits, 2 earned, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, and he got to 76 pitches, 33 swings and miss, or 10 swings and misses in that time frame. So he was really, 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 really good for being out for as long as he was and not throwing more than 57 pitches in any of his rehab starts. So today, to me, was about Justin Verlander, and he looked really, really good.
Ain't no doubt about it, man. Got him back in the rotation. It didn't need to be a piggyback start. He was able to throw 76 pitches. He ended as strong as he started in terms of his stuff, and it appears, I don't know if we can flare up or anything like that. Obviously could happen, but it appears that JV's back. It's going to be a 6-man rotation with the Astros, which is a huge plus down the stretch for some of these young guys that haven't handled this kind of workload before. And no matter what the score ends up here today, was a big win for the Astros getting JV back in the saddle.
That's the big thing is It's not just, oh, man, you know, sometimes you can see a line, Clint, like, oh, five innings, four hits, two runs. Like,
right.
It wasn't like, and I know Tyler was in there watching it due to the money aspect for him. And someone texted in and said, Tyler kind of took one on the chin yesterday. Hopefully JV got you back right. It looked good all around. You know, outside of a couple of guys, no one was just absolutely that tattooing it and hitting it to people. There wasn't many hard hit balls. He was striking guys out. Like you said, man, he got stronger in the third and the fourth and the fifth inning. He was strong. Like, you were looking at it, and it was like the only reason he's coming out of this game is because prior to the game, it was clear they had some sort of a, which you understand, some sort of a pitch count.
Yeah.
That was it, because the guy that was walking out of that game after he ended the fifth is a guy who looked like he had two to three more innings in him. So that's the big part, is you almost forget what you had there when you haven't seen him in a while, hadn't pitched since June 9th. Now you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, that's right. This is the ace. This is the front of the rotation guy. And what they had.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about all the success that the Astros have had of late, man, is assuming it works out in our favor, which it did today with Justin Verlander. I mean, you're already the hottest team in baseball. I don't know how many. You're already doing things, tracking down the Mariners after being 10 down before the damn All-Star break. I mean, historically, the best hunt that we've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And by the way, you got Verlander coming back this week, which was today, turned out well. You got Tucker hopping around in the outfield, which is far better than what we had seen the last week from Kyle Tucker. So he's going to come back at some point in time.
Yep.
You've been one of the hottest teams in baseball and done historically great things without those two big guns, literally. And to know that they're going to come back and be part of the move going forward is. That's beautiful, man.
All right, prior to the game, as they got a little day baseball, Joe Espada, the captain, spoke to the media, and this was his update. As we know, Ryan Presley, that back injury, was placed on the IL. This is his update and the latest with Ryan Presley.
I was actually just watching him. His stuff looked pretty good. I didn't get a chance to finish his bullpen since I got to come here and hang out with you all.
The fact that, like, it doesn't seem like he stopped throwing since you guys put him on the IL, does that suggest that, like, he may not even need a rehab?
Yeah, I don't. After 15 you know what? Days? No, I don't think he will be necessary. I think he's in pretty good shape. I think the fact that he continues to throw, he feels good. I don't think he's necessary. We could always do like a little live BP for him, face some of our hitters. So right now, I don't think that will be necessary.
All right, so that's the latest there with Ryan Presley. Of course, he's looking good. That's the latest with Ryan Presley. Take their time with him. Make sure he gets right. And then Alex Bregman, who did start in this game and has homered, led off the game for the Astros with a homer. He's not playing in the field, though. This is Joe Espada speaking about Alex Bregman, who's obviously in the lineup, but giving a more of an update with it.
Yeah, I would like to keep him DH. If something happens that, like this game, late extra inning games, I'm sure he could go there and play defense, but I will try to avoid that if I can.
All right, he wants to still avoid that. So they're not – something is holding them back to putting him in the field at this point. They want him to only DH at this point, so we'll see how long that is. But it was just big to at least have him in the lineup. And, hell, if he could DH, I think they can – you want him to be at third, but I think they can at least fill that in.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, just getting the bat back. We said this about Kyle Tucker as well, man. I mean, the minute they can swing a bat, hell, get him in the lineup. If it's just DH, great. Your DHs can go out and play. In fact, I mean, obviously the one guy that you would rather be a DH full time, Yordan Alvarez, is playing left field a lot more because so you can bounce around and use different guys in that DH role. So it's not something that's foreign for the Astros. Get these guys back in there. Hell, I mean, this Bregman showed exactly why today.
My man John Singleton, he is swinging so hard. He swung his elbow pad off.
I didn't know what that was.
Did he break it? Because he didn't put it back on.
I'm not sure. Hey, did y'all see his bat flip on that home run? It was either last night or the night before.
The other night.
He, once again, nobody bat flips like Big John.
Yeah, he's
he threw that.
his efficiency with it. He's so quick with it.
Bam. Yes,
that's
yes,
what he is. But damn, he is not getting cheated. I mean, he broke the damn elbow pad. Doggone it, John. Then he took one swing. 3-1 still at Minute Maid. The Red Sox lead in the seventh. The Astros do have some runners in scoring position. They got a chance to get this thing back tight again.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Clint, I know you were there. The Texans practice today. One more day until they meet the L.A. Rams with a joint practice coming up tomorrow. That will be that sadly enough, will probably be bigger than the game, because I think the ones are actually going to play in tomorrow's scrimmages. I'm not sure if they're going to play in the game coming up on Saturday. But what are you looking for tomorrow? What things are going to, you're going there, if you got in your mind, I know you like to keep notes on a pad. Got in your mind, what are the things you're looking at as the Texans get ready to play the Rams?
Well, I think when you look at the starting 22, the one thing that we will be able to see, I'm not just going to say, well, I want to watch this or that, because there's a bunch of things that I'd like to watch, but I think on the offensive side of the football, it's that offensive line, man. I mean, there's got to be some semblance of getting a hat on a hat, moving folks, and giving these running backs some opportunity. You know, as we talked earlier, man, the run throughs, the not getting to the second level, the guys being unblocked in the hole. I mean, that stuff, that's got to get better, man. And hopefully with Joe Mixon in the mix, and hopefully with Laremy Tunsil in the mix, that gets better in the team sessions with the Rams tomorrow. So I think offensively, that's the one big I fully expect all these receivers to participate and go off. I expect two tight ends in Brevin Jordan and Dalton Schultz to make plays. I expect Joe Mixon to be out there. It's just a matter for me, man, up front. Can these guys
see some space?
Can you
space
just look just block it up, man, and give these guys some opportunities. And again, I don't expect it to be every damn play, but boy, it's getting tough to watch from. Go ahead.
That's what I say. My thing I'm really watching, there's a few things, right? We can get to Kamari Lassiter.
Well, that was that on the defense side of football. That's the one I'm watching.
But to get to stay there, it is Joe Mixon, because I'm telling you, I've been wanting to see him in with the ones and against, you know, another team, and with the Rams and their guys in front. I've been wanting to see him in there to see how different it looks with him in the lineup. Like, I want to see him behind the same blocking scheme, the same things that we've been watching. I want to see what that looks like with him. And people have been pretty impressed with the Rams defensive line. People have liked what they've seen there with their young guys, those young kids they got from Florida State. That's the big thing I want to see is, all right, Dameon Pierce and that running attack, those guys look rough in game against other opponents.
Yeah.
I want to see how different it will look with Joe Mixon. And I think that will give us a better gauge on, like, all right, the run game will be where they need it to be, because that combination of Joe Mixon and the offensive line can seem to find some.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, seeing Joe Mixon, this will be the livest action that we've ever seen Joe Mixon behind the line, assuming that he's going to go. I would imagine that this will be the last run for the starters, the last high-intensity work for the starters before the Indianapolis Colts game week one. And so I would imagine it's going to be the intensity is going to be a pretty good ways up there. So no doubt. The run game as a whole, I mean, what are we looking like up front? What does Joe Mixon look like? We hadn't seen that in live action. And then with the Dameon Pierce situation, does he look better in practice? I think we'll be able to get a good gauge on all of that on the offensive side of the football. Defensively, you mentioned it. I think it's, again, I'll say it again, every defensive what if or what I'm watching or whatever nuggets you want to look at, it starts with Kamari Lassiter. You got a rookie corner opposite Derek Stingley. You've got at least the first line when everybody's healthy. You've got some dudes that are pretty established or we're pretty confident in. The one we haven't seen is Kamari Lassiter. You know, he's the one that I think for the first month of the season we're all going to have to be watching to see what he's made out of. Had a hell of a day today now. But yeah. You know, we got to see it in real live action, and this is going to be This will be the realest, livest action that he's seen. I hate to think that the Giants are anywhere remotely close to the Rams. So that game action last week was damn near a waste of time, to be completely honest with you. This is the real deal, as real as he's seen.
This is a coordinator. This is a coach who knows what he's doing.
Yep.
Quarterbacks, receivers, mm-hmm. and you talk about trying to confuse a young kid. This is kind of a group that will do that. I don't know how much they'll show.
Yeah, girl.
But this is a definitely a challenge potentially in a space where he can get better.
Number three.
All right, we were just talking about the Texans' number one rookie they drafted in Kamari Lassiter. Well, we're going to have a lot of rookie starting quarterbacks, Clint. And Sean Payton, your old guy with the Broncos, the head coach there, he is officially, no, nobody's surprised by this, but he is officially named rookie first-round pick Bo Nix as Denver's new number one quarterback.
Broncos country.
Are you more impressed that Bo Nix is able to pick this up, or that our guy, what's Zach's last
Zach
name?
Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
Bill Funner.
Got over there. I think many people thought, well, all right, maybe he gets to start 1 year.
That's right.
Nah, man, he's not even starting a game. He's not even coming out of there. Like, what a miss Zach Wilson was.
Yeah, look, I don't think, to me, it's the other kid there that the other quarterback up there, the one that came out of Auburn, man. Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
To me, it was either Stidham or Bo Nix. I mean, I just don't.
Yeah, Zach wouldn't even go be the third string.
Zach don't ring like the whole like pretty boy. I don't know. He's got a certain vibe about him that I just never thought was gonna work with. I think it's a good pickup, but I don't think that Sean Payton was going to go that route. Now, it doesn't shock me one bit that Bo Nix is that dude, an older, more mature, grounded, grinder, tough-ass dude. That doesn't surprise me that Sean Payton went with that guy. And, I mean, look, you look at Bo Nix. I admit, one time I was so low on Bo Nix, I wasn't a fan at all. He got better at Auburn, then he goes out to Oregon and lights it up. The fact that he learned several offenses, he was in college as long as he was. I mean, he's from a mental perspective, from a cerebral approach to the game, he's probably ahead of most rookies because he played so much college football.
But Clint, it's just wild. When you look at it, like, all the aspects you're talking about, control, understanding of the offense, knowing what he wants to do, what he's reading. I mean, I don't know that Zach Wilson has ever been as comfortable as Bo Nix has ever been in these. What's he been the quarterback in the NFL? What, 2 months?
Yeah. Oh no. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he was high strung and didn't know what the hell he was doing when he's in college. He's running all over the place.
Yeah. It's just wild. Like, he's been in the league. How many years Zach has been in the league? Three years.
Going on four, right?
He's never looked that way. I mean, he had a good half against the Texans last year, but he was erratic in the first. Like, I mean, it's
erratic
just,
is the right word. I mean, that's just been his whole, like, that's you, his whole
you
get
see
up.
That, like, he's got the talent and arm strength, everything, but he has never looked like he has ever had control of the offense of what he's doing. From the two games I've watched with Bo Nix.
Ronnie, he was a guy, and this was Bo Nix early on at Auburn too, by the way. But he's always, Zach Wilson has always been a guy, Ron, that wanted to play a backyard style of ball, that was okay playing outside the pocket and off schedule, off platform, that was almost willing to play that way. And it's damn near impossible to play that way at the NFL level. We watch some of the most talented dudes on earth struggle, at least struggle in a sense of trying to win championships, because they can't learn to play in the pocket, from the pocket, on time, commit to it. Damn it, it shouldn't be about what you can do off platform, although that obviously ends up being a huge part of quarterback play. Like, what you really want is a quarterback that can handle the biggest. What is your threshold? How much chaos can you handle in the pocket before you hit the eject button? Not the first sniff of a little bit of pressure, boom, you hit the eject button. How much can you weather? How much chaos can you handle before you're like, oh, I got to get the hell out of here? And Zach is a guy that would just somebody breathes on him, boom, he's out of there. And he's not a good enough athlete to live that way.
Maybe one out of 10 times he'd stay. But, yeah, erratic, as we said. All right, coming up, is there a guy on the roster that could even be this? Is there anybody that could be the 2023 version of Nico Collins? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
And he got him chasing. Not the best at bat for Jordan. Took an 0-1 strike. Fires the helmet away as he swung at a pitch well off the plate to strike out to end the inning with the bases full.
I'm currently watching his reaction afterwards. He just threw the bat. Just threw that damn hand.
Well, this is not good.
What would y'all be? Would if you struck out like that? That's got to be frustrating for that good of a hitter to just kind of just an awful offer at a sweeper away that you knew you couldn't hit. I mean, are you breaking the bat? You throwing the bat? You throwing the helmet? You kicking the dirt? What are y'all? What kind of? I mean, Tyler, I feel like
I'm going Bo Jackson.
You're breaking the bat.
Yep.
You're breaking the bat.
Of course, in this scenario, I do not have my twig legs because I think the bat would break me.
But yeah, you could get yourself in trouble that with your current state. But
if I had Jordan's legs, I'm snapping that thing.
Snapping the wood? What would you do?
Yeah, I'm not bringing injury into it. I'm gonna probably fire the hat and the bat. Toss the helmet, the hat. I'd be very similar to him. Like, you know, there would be cuss words to myself.
Yeah.
F me.
Oh, I'd cuss out loud.
I mean, it'd be loud. Mine would probably be a turn.
Aimed at yourself. I got you.
Turn. And I'm a big. The guy with the.
Yeah.
The lips. Like, when I'm frustrated. Because we're in the seventh. We're in the seventh inning.
Eighth.
But it
that
happened.
Was the seventh, yeah.
It was the seventh inning of a. All right. Like,
3-1
we're
game.
All right. Like, this isn't the playoffs.
Bases juice. Who else?
In the playoffs, I may have had to go walk down that and into the entire clubhouse.
Playoffs?
Yeah. I think, you know what I am? I am a –
Trey would have fired it. Fired the bat and did everything.
No, I would have calmly carried my bat back to the dugout, but I would have tried to drive that bat through the back of that bat rack.
You done with it? Oh, drop.
Like, I would have put it in the right hole, and I would have tried to blow the back out of it.
That's key. You know what? That's one that you don't need to do. That's not one I need to go watch. Get the tablet for.
Oh,
swings he had.
Hey, Coach, I know what the hell happened, man.
I don't need to see the tablet. I don't need to watch the tablet. It's probably good for Jordan today after that at bat that he had to run back out to left field. Because if he had to just sit in there and stew with that till the next time he came up to the plate, like he'd have been smoking. 3-1 right there, and as Clint and Tyler are talking about, a huge moment in the game. The Astros get the bases loaded with one out, and in the lineup today, I'm not so sure there's anybody else that you'd rather have up to the plate with Bregman and Jordan Alvarez coming up with the bases loaded, and then one out, and then Bregman pops up to shallow right. And then, obviously, that just horrible strikeout. And when I say horrible strikeout, just the pitch that he swung at, the at-bat seemed like Jordan doesn't normally come up and doesn't appear like he has a plan. Ooh, and he's up there just swinging.
Very rarely does he have a bad at-bat.
He looked like he just was up there swinging.
Yeah, Bregman jumps on a first pitch, I believe, popped it out to short right field. Was the second baseman end up getting that?
No, right fielder came up and got it. He was running in.
And then Jordan struck out. Boy, that hurt.
Yep.
That hurt right there.
Top 9, 3-1 Red Sox lead as Seth Martinez is in to try to hold it down. We'll keep you updated on that. All right. Look, Nico Collins, hell, listen, he shocked all of us. And I refuse to even hear anybody saying they saw that.
Nico is
1,300 yards, 80 catches. Like, I just refuse to believe that. But he, to me, shocked. Everybody shocked the league with his production. Not just as much as he could play, but he was at a Pro Bowl level. And I'm not necessarily saying up to that performance, but there are folks and guys out here on this team we're not talking about, we're not thinking about, that could have a big, big impact that I don't think we're predicting. Hey, Clint, I know there's some extra want to for this kid for me. But, man, I think Khalil Davis is going to be somebody we're talking about at the end of the year in a way that I don't think we're thinking about right now. I think Khalil Davis is playing a position, Clint, that is kind of up for the taking for somebody to step up.
He's going
to
get run.
It's like it's not like there is somebody that is – there's not a Derek Stingley standing in front of him. There's not a Diggs standing in front of him. I think he'll get opportunities. And the time he got last year, I think he played really, really well. And you can see him getting better today. He had a really good practice as well, being reported from people. I think Khalil Davis is a guy. I'm not saying he's going to go Pro Bowl level play the way Nico did.
Yeah.
But I don't think he is a guy that we're thinking about right now. I don't think a lot of Texans fans are thinking about right now. I think by the end of the year, Khalil Davis is a guy that we're talking about as a major, major part and has really stepped up and made a difference for the defense.
Yeah, man, that we're not talking. I would have to go with Kalen Bullitt.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about him a little bit, but he's not going to be starting, and we really don't know. We know everybody likes him a lot, but we don't know exactly what that looks like. So I would go with Kalen Bullitt. I could see him really, really helping this football team, especially given that, in man coverages with him in center field, he roams center field, I mean, really well. You get into the zones, you know, he clearly can cover a zone really well if you can play center field and man well. He just has the makings, man. That length and the speed and the instincts. To me, he's a guy that if he ever gets on the field, it's going to be hard to get him off barring an injury.
Text coming in. I think Jeff Okuda is going to have to make an impact at some point. Now, that's one. We'll see. I think they're pretty committed to those top corners. Not saying he's not going to get in at any time. Right. Now, there could be injuries. Obviously, we know the history of Derek Stingley. I think he's probably going to be pressed to have to play some, but that fits the bill. That qualifies, rather. That's a good one, Jeff Okuda. I'd like to see him get on the field. He is one of those that haven't been practicing in a while either. All right, coming up, we'll keep you updated here as the Astros are looking to try to pull this thing out. And there's a player that has been really affected by Kyle Tucker, and I wonder would he be reaching where he is right now. We'll discuss.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Astros in the ninth inning. They trail 4-1 now. Seth Martinez gave up a home run in the top of the ninth. They trail 4-1. We'll see if they can get a comeback. It would be their first comeback all season after trailing after eight innings. They are 0-43 this year when trailing after eight innings.
Mm.
0-43 when trailing after eight innings. So that is what is upon them right now. We'll see if they can find a way to break that 0-43 streak. See if they can do that. But we'll keep you updated.
I don't feel real good about it right now, Ron. I'll be honest with you. I ain't feeling it right now, man.
All right. Well, quick work of Jake. That'll help. Well, Dubon tried to. Don't hit it to him.
Jake Dubon combo. That didn't go. It didn't work out real well.
Real shout out to Boss Lady. Happy birthday to Boss Lady. It is our boss.
That's right. Y'all see the big pick and the graphic on the wall in there?
Growing up the H, baby.
Yep. Wrote it down.
Solid pick, man. Right.
Wrote it down. Took a picture
Happy
of it.
Happy birthday to you.
For you, sir.
With an H on it.
Happy birthday to you.
I feel this in my soul.
You're going to hit this next one, ain't you?
Happy birthday, dear.
Sarah, Boss Lady Sarah.
Happy birthday to you.
God, it's the run.
God, I love you, Tony.
That was a good job of pausing that and putting the right name in there.
Yeah, get in. Smart. Boss Lady Sarah. But happy birthday, Sarah Frazier. Yeah, I did take note of that and took a... took a photo of it, saved it in my phone. Contract time. I'd like to get that.
I was like, where is this
going? Where is he going with this?
I'd like to get that in my contract.
On your birthday, you need it on all the TVs around the building?
Yep. I don't know if you, that's what I was thinking. Yes.
I mean, I'd love to see you up there, that big smile, that big grin. I'd love to see it up there, man. That'd be great.
I'd like to pick the photo because I feel like somebody would. No, actually, see, I think if that's Leroy, I would trust.
You got a control problem.
I do. I trust Leroy. I'll trust Leroy. I'd like to get him to send me about five or six different ones he's thinking of.
So you really don't trust Leroy?
I do trust him. I just like to see where he's leaning, and maybe we could come together as a group. But I'll let him have final say.
Would you like to be smiling, or would you like to look hard, or like what do you think you'd go with?
I'd like to first year hard smiles. I mean, big smile.
Oh, the first time it happens?
Big smile. Yeah. Don't want it, and I want it to be single. Don't want it in my kids or anybody in it. Courtney, just me.
Just you.
Okay. Is that my boy, Ron?
Hang in there, baby. Yeah, baby.
Why no kids and wife?
This one celebrates me. Just on that day, man. I'm obviously.
It's the one day you get.
The showman.
Someone here who is just kind of gives it and. Gives it to others. Just give me that one. Give me that day. Give me that day. I think it'd be nice. It'd be nice right there. Give me that photo right there. I like the thought of it. It's like that time when I came in here. They really got me that day. I came in here to visit. It was the first time I came here. We were doing a show for the first time together. Working in almost a tryout type of situation. Mm-hmm. I came in here, Tyler. I walked in, and right behind in the big studio, the TV right behind, right behind Leroy was all KU stuff.
Oh, that was.
Oh, I remember you telling me about
this.
It was all
Kansas stuff lit up all around. Then that TV right there, when you walk in, I said, "Damn, man, they really want me.
They're really recruiting.
I mean, they're recruiting.
Jayhawks are going down.
I promise you. I didn't realize
that was the same day.
But she is obviously like. Over the alumni, the KU alumni, she was had just so happened to be leading a meeting there here that day, and that's why that was up there. But I'm texting everybody at the house like, "Hey man, this is the big time here. They're recruiting the hell out of me. They really want my ass to get in here."
You didn't know the boss lady was
for had nothing to do with me. They didn't even think about me. I said, "Damn, boy, this is."
They should have let you believe it, man. That would have been great.
It wasn't no letting.
These Texans really are into KU.
I'm just like, man, they do it right here.
Yeah.
I was like, God, oh, this is like, I'm like, this
Red
is probably
carpet.
What they did to you when you went to Arkansas.
Bunch of Razorback gear in there.
Y'all know I love Arkansas.
Like it did the introduction of you when you walked into Frank Broyles Stadium. It said,
"Yeah, that was back then. That was the deal.
That was the deal.
When you walk, I mean, obviously being down here, I'd played in some big stadiums, but nothing like a college stadium. Obviously,
Hogs are winners.
You walk in and they got your picture and
Yeah, that's what I thought. I said, wow.
Up on the big screen up there. Yeah, man.
They know.
By the way, the Astros fall to the Boston Red Sox 4-1, lose the series 2-1. As we'll talk a little bit later, to me today is still a good day with Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander's return was the most important thing, as you have a 5-game lead. It was the most important thing, and he showed that he appears to be healthy and ready to go, and not just healthy and ready to go, but the top of the rotation type guy that you need. All right, I've been looking at this, and I've been thinking about this, Clint. And I'm looking at Yiner Diaz, and he is, to me, when you think about, all right, the guys that since Kyle Tucker has gotten injured, the guys who have really stepped up, Yiner Diaz has to be, from at least at the plate perspective, has to be at the top of the list. And I'm just wondering, I'm throwing this out there, you think Yiner would be in this spot, would have this production, would have taken off like this, if Kyle Tucker hadn't gotten injured? Do you think him getting injured, him being moved up in that four spot, him kind of having, I think, the pressure of that? Because, Clint, June 3rd is the last game Tucker played. His line, his number, /9, he's hitting .248, .278 on base, .371 slugging, 4 homers, 24 RBIs. Today, he's hitting .301, and it's improved because he's had multiple hits today. .326, which is improved on base because he's been on multiple times. .463 slugging, 15 homers, and a team leading 71 RBI. I wonder how much, in a positive way, potentially, it forced him to have to step his game up, or also being able to hit right behind Yordan Alvarez consistently. He is the one that has really stepped up. I wonder if we would have been able to witness that from Yiner if Kyle Tucker were still in the lineup every day.
It sure is convincing as you're talking. I mean,
those numbers are nuts for where
it was. It's convincing because, he just strikes like – I remember watching him, Ron, get pushed down into the lower part of the lineup, and clearly the body language was bad. Clearly he didn't like it. Clearly it had a negative impact on him. And so I think – we've done a 180 with him, right, where he was struggling, he's getting pushed down the lineup, to now all of a sudden, not only is he moved up in the lineup in a 3 or 4 hole, depending on who's healthy and who's not, but you're talking about a guy that clearly the team needs you desperately.
They were forced to, right?
Right,
There was nobody else that made sense to put right there. They tried Pena, I think Jake got a run up there. I think they tried a lot of people, but then they were forced to have to sit him right there.
It's hard not to think that he's one of those guys that boy, when you tell him, I need you, man, we're relying on you, man. You're one of our big guns, that he performs best under that set of circumstances versus the tough love of pushing him down the lineup and making him feel like he's going to end up back in Sugarland or something if he doesn't pick it up. Yeah, it's hard to think that if the Tucker injury and the Tucker absence, it's hard to think that it didn't impact him in any way.
Yeah, because I think, as you said, I think it forced them to have to put him in a spot. Because if Tucker's still there, obviously he's hitting fourth. I don't know if there is a force or a reason. He was hitting ninth.
he
was hitting behind John Singleton at times. He was hitting behind guys. We're like, what in the world is going on? I think that injury, one, for him, forced him to say, hey, for the team, I got to pick it up.
I got to get right.
I got to pick it up. I mean, he had 4 home runs up to that point. I got to pick it up the power-wise. And then, like, I think you're right. Joe probably had to sit there and say, yo, he's got to hit forward.
Yep.
Like, I mean, there's nobody else makes sense with his combination of potential power and what he can do to drive in runs. We got to have him there to sit there in that 4 spot. And what that's going to do now is, like, he's in a groove. He's going. Now, when Tucker gets back, it just makes this thing stronger. Because I don't think when Tucker arrives, that means Diaz is going to go back to being the guy that he was when Tucker was playing, and that was a guy.
God,
that
I hope not. The one thing about Joe Espada, all joking aside, is, I mean, he's shown if you swing the bat well, you're going to move up in the lineup. If you don't, your ass is going to move down in the lineup, with the exception of your top 4 guys, top 3, 4 guys, top 4 if Tucker's healthy. And what Diaz has done is Diaz has made him right. Diaz has shown up. It's wild to think, Ron, that him and we've talked about Pena as well in the same breath. Like the quality at bat these guys are getting this year versus last year. I know there's still moments. Don't get me wrong, last year it was once a game with these guys, man, where they were just going wasting at bat. They were going to swing at a
you threw a slider or a sweeper away.
Low and away, it was done. What Jordan struck at? Yes,
it was daily.
They were swinging no matter what, and so. Those guys, Pena, and I don't mean for Pena to steal a little bit of Diaz's moment here, but both of those guys, I mean, it's crazy how much more disciplined they seem to be at the plate. And it's interesting. I don't know where Pena's numbers are, but obviously, if home run numbers are, but obviously, Diaz, the power fell off a little bit. But the average hitting over 300 at this point is.
But to where he was at.
Yeah.
In just over
crazy
2 months.
Crazy the climb, yeah.
To where he was at, he is.
Long season, Ron.
Yeah, he did the reverse of Jake. He's done the reverse of Jake.
Drive by. Myers, drive by.
Hey, Jake, great catch yesterday.
No doubt, man.
Great catch.
No
doubt.
Great
catch yesterday.
Great catch. Better dismount.
You like the dismount? I'm not going to say about that.
That Jake right there? Hey, that Jake right there? I'm talking about made the catch, cool. I'm talking about the land in the squatted position, stand up, and he did – everything but adjust the backpack. He did everything but with his thumbs and his glove, you know, what is that? Is secure the bag? He did everything but that. I mean, that Jake right there, I can get down with that Jake.
And he made Patrick Creighton's day, boy.
Oh,
I hadn't heard from Patrick Creighton in a month and a half.
Ron Hewley.
Oh, yeah.
Jake climbed the ladder. Now, I know Pat ain't going to make no he ain't gonna make nothing up here on the X or on social about that easy send that the Red Sox had to kick off the game today on that shallow ball hit to center.
Yeah,
I didn't even think twice about sending him.
I went down old PC rabbit hole. Ty Callis.
What an aggressive send! I said, "Come on, man, that's Jake." They had a game plan. I don't even mean it to be a jackass, Jake, but you clearly see the Red Sox had a game plan. Of we're running on Jake Myers any chance we get, which I think everybody does. We're running on him any chance we get and open up the game. But no, last night that catch, fantastic catch. Fantastic catch. Had a good hit today too. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Well, I was at practice today, and while we're getting closer to game time and the ones are not going to play, they are preparing. I say the ones aren't going to play. I don't know exactly who's playing, but I'm going to guess they're not going to play if at all any. We got a joint practice tomorrow, so they are turning it up a little bit. The intensity was turned up a little bit at practice today. They're getting some work done, and there's a couple of things that stood out. Let me be your eyes and ears. Like I told you yesterday, let me be your eyes and ears. I'll give you what I saw out of practice today. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.